Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim. With me, as always, is my friendly neighborhood friend, Frank.
Hey, bud.
Hey, how are you?
I'm friendly, and I'm in the neighborhood, so I thought I'd swing by.
I'm actually in your neighborhood.
You are in my neighborhood.
I swung by.
You did. In a car.
Yeah.
You didn't swing.
But then I walked for a while because your street doesn't let me park on it. So,
sadness.
I know. So, I'm drinking beer and you're drinking beer. We're both drinking the same beer.
Yes, we are.
We're making our way through not your father's ginger ale still.
That is true.
Because you still had some.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
It's all good. Yeah, I like
it's
it.
It's good. It's
like
growing
it.
On me.
It goes well in your man cave. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Otherwise known as your kitchen.
Right.
Yeah.
Shh, you're breaking the illusion that we're not some big studio operation.
We're in a loft, Frank. we're in a city There's loft.
Definitely no cats around.
Yeah. What does that have to do with a loft or not?
Nothing.
Big studios have cats.
Sure.
MGM has a lion.
Touché, sir.
Obviously.
Yes.
Yeah, obviously. You know... Frank.
No, please. Please tell me.
You know what people? A lot of people think about cats?
What do they think about cats?
That they're the fiercest killers of the animal kingdom.
Yes.
But we know...
John Peters says that. Yeah. With his amazing hair.
Yeah, but
many
we know this
that.
Not to be true.
No, it's true.
We know who are the fiercest killers in the animal kingdom.
Do tell.
Spiders.
Ah!
Spiders are the fiercest killers in the animal kingdom.
Fierce, fierce, murderous killers.
Yes, indeed. But do you know who's friendly and around the neighborhood, but not?
Is it an exterminator? Does he kill spiders?
No, you want to kill this one? No, you do want to kill. I hate spiders. Like, actually. But why do I like Spider-Man? Like, I like Spider-Man a lot, but I hate spiders.
Well, he's
one of
friendly.
The best parts about having a cat is that he eats the spiders
that's
in the house.
True. That is true. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm putting your cat right.
You
here.
Are. That's true. Yeah, Spider-Man is Spider-Man's great. I've always liked Spider-Man. Spider-Man's been one of my favorites. I mean, he's been like my favorite, or he was my favorite Marvel character for a long time.
Is it because he does things that a spider definitely
can
can't?
Not.
Do?
Yeah. I mean, you know, he crawls on walls. Spiders do that. Check.
Mm-hmm.
He swings from webs. Spiders do that. Check.
Mm-hmm. From his butt.
Not from his butt. But I mean, that'd
how
be
hard would it be to aim? Doing around the city.
There'd be a lot of good
up,
jokes
trying
about
to get
that.
A skyscraper. You're like turning your hips. It's all in the hips, guys. It's
yeah.
all in the hips.
Imagine Stan Lee writing that version of Spider-Man.
I would love it if he wrote that version of Spider-Man.
Oh, man.
So hard.
Poor Steve Ditko, though.
So
yeah, I don't know about the butt part, but, you know, he does do mostly what a spider can.
Were you a big Spider-Man fan before or after the first Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie?
Before.
Before.
Yeah,
yeah, me too.
That those cartoons that we talked about a while back,
yeah.
The, like, 80s cartoons.
Yeah. It's Spider-Man!
Yeah, you know, that old cartoon. The Black Cat crosses your path.
Indeed.
The Maltese Mouse and
yeah.
all that stuff. Yeah, I grew up watching that.
See you later, Parker!
JJ. Yeah. That stuff, I was always a fan of that. So I liked Spider-Man already. I had Spider-Man toys as a kid. I really liked him. But then when the Raimi film came out, the first Raimi film,
yeah.
I was really excited because, like, this was, you know, a hero that, like, I really liked already. And, like, okay, it was no Superman movie, but, like, I'll take a Spider-Man movie. I love Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was really... Spider-Man. I think Spider-Man is the reason, one of the reasons for my internet fandom starting.
Okay.
There was a site I used to go on, which I think I've talked about before. It was called SpidermanHype.com.
Yes.
Which became Superhero Hype.
Yes.
Yeah. But it was just originally for Sam Raimi's Spider-Man
right.
movie. And I've definitely talked about this before because I like waited like 4 hours for the teaser of the teaser load. And it was like CG webs, like
yes.
teaser coming soon.
Yeah.
Like, son of a nutcracker.
Yeah. I'm like dial up waiting for this thing to load.
Yeah. That Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie, though, that was 2001 mm-hmm. that came out. And that movie,
2002,
right. That movie is the reason that I saw the two towers a week before they fell.
Oh, really?
Yep, because in my young child state of mind, I saw the teaser trailer attached to Jurassic Park 3 where
right.
he like puts the helicopters in between
the twin towers.
And we were going to New York, so in my mind, I was like, they must still be filming there.
Oh.
So I made my parents go to the towers so I could see if Spider-Man was there. And obviously they weren't.
They were long gone. They had finished filming. It was coming out in a week.
Like, yes.
Or a few months, whatever.
It was a summer movie, so I think it had another year
to go.
Yeah,
it came out in May. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
it
had another year to go. But they were definitely done and in post-production. But,
right.
you know, like when you are, you know, 12 or whatever,
sure.
you don't. 13, 14? I was 14.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't know that.
Right.
Yeah. So I went, but I saw them before it
yeah.
fell. That's crazy. So, but I loved that movie.
Me too. I love the movie.
I saw it, like, I think I saw it 4 or 5 times in theaters.
Oh, wow.
I definitely remember watching it. I think it was the first or second. I think it was the second time I saw it. I was sitting in the theater, and I don't remember who I was with. Couldn't tell you. Doesn't matter. Probably did to me then. And there, the Green Goblin is beating up Spider-Man
yep.
at the end. It's the climax of the film, and they're in the little, it's like those little, like those crumbled buildings off of the water.
Yep.
They're real buildings.
Yep.
They're there.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them. So he's beating him up in there, and Spider-Man is just getting his ass handed to him by the Power Ranger known as the Green Goblin.
Yeah.
And there's a little kid in front of me. And the little kid yells out in the middle of the theater, "Do something, Spider-Man!" And that sums up my experience with that movie
yeah.
pretty solidly.
Do something, Spider-Man.
That kid was super happy.
Oh,
at the end
my
of that
God.
Movie.
Yeah, he did something.
Yeah, he did not get the tragic hero part of that end of the story.
Nope.
But nope, not at all. Because
right.
girls were icky to him.
Yeah.
But he was really concerned for Spider-Man
aww.
And his battle against the Power Ranger, the Green
yeah.
Power Ranger.
Yep.
Yeah. When did you first see it?
I actually saw it on DVD for the first time.
No.
Yeah, I didn't
no.
I didn't see it. I wasn't a big theater goer at the time.
So.
It wouldn't be for another two or three years that that I would become a big theater goer. So I didn't really go to theaters very much back then. So with most movies back then, I waited for them to come out on video. Mm-hmm. So I think I got it on DVD for my birthday, if I remember correctly. So it would have been right around the time that it came out on DVD
mm-hmm.
Back then. Cause I mean, yeah, it was January. So it was, it came out on DVD and I watched it at home. And I actually remember it was like the first DVD that I owned too.
Spider-Man was, really?
I think so. Yeah. If it wasn't I think it was the first. I'll tell you why. I popped in the DVD and, you know, FBI warning comes up,
yeah.
all the different, whatever trailers and everything come up and everything. And then this footage of him like swinging through the city of New York starts. So I'm like, okay, cool, movie's on. And he's swinging.
You just watched the
and
menu,
he's swinging,
didn't you?
And he's swinging, and he keeps swinging. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I saw that building already. He's going over like 2 minutes, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure. Oh, it's his play down there. Oh, I should probably hit play on this.
That is
because I was like 12 or whatever, and it was like our first DVD, like real DVD.
Yeah.
I think I had like dollar store DVDs before that had no like moving menus and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like drawn to the top of the screen where there was action and didn't notice that right at the bottom there was like a little thing that said play and set up and, you know,
yeah,
chapters and whatever else. So I was like, oh, I'm an idiot. So then I hit play and the real movie started.
Oh, my God. That's the best.
That is one of my most embarrassing stories. My sister was with me. She was, if I was 12, she was like 9 mm-hmm. or 8. And and we never speak of that because it was so embarrassing.
For both of you.
For both of us.
Less for her.
So I just told
9.
It to all of our listeners. So
oh,
there you go.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, my first DVD was Jurassic Park 3.
Oh, which came out around the same time.
Yeah, they came out the year before because the teaser trailer was attached to Jurassic Park 3. That's my oddly connected story. Yeah.
That's funny. So, yeah, then I guess that checks out then, timeline-wise, that it would have been my first DVD.
Wow.
Yeah. That never happened again to that much. But yes, that was pretty funny. I loved that movie. I loved that movie so much. I became so obsessed with it. I mean, I think it was maybe the last time, because I was getting a little too old for this, the last time where it was like a movie I wanted to watch every day.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I know people who are adults who still watch this movie every day.
Okay. Well, I did it as a kid.
As a kid.
You know, I'm going to come home from school every day and watch The Wizard of Oz every day, you know, whatever movie you were obsessed with that week.
Yeah.
I didn't do that anymore
Peter Pan.
Okay.
Watch Peter Pan every day.
I did it with Beauty and the Beast when I was really little. I did it with a lot of movies.
Yeah.
But I think that's the last movie I ever
Baybar.
Did it with.
I used to watch Baybar every day.
Oh, Babar, really?
Oh, yeah. We called him Baybar.
Oh, really?
Babar?
Yeah, I called him Babar. The elephant you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Babar in the film?
I thought it was Babar.
Maybe it's both.
On the TV show.
I guess I just got to go back and watch it.
Guess so. Yeah. Every day for the next week.
Best. Anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm derailing this conversation.
No, it's cool. So yeah, that's my first Spider-Man experience.
That's very interesting.
I didn't know who Sam Raimi was. I didn't know.
No, it was my first Sam Raimi movie.
I didn't know anything about Evil Dead. I didn't know anything about any of that. I watched the DVD bonus footage a lot too. Almost like maybe not every time I watch the movie, but almost as many times as I watch the movie. And so like all this DVD bonus footage is like still lodged in my mind.
Yep.
I know it really well.
This was my first, as I said, this created my internet fandom.
Yeah.
Like searching for things and going on sites and everything like that. But I like this was my first exposure to set photos and all that stuff.
So the
like even before like they released a photo where their trailer came out of the Green Goblin, I knew what he looked like because of a set photo, and my brother and I were like, he looks stupid, I hate it. And then I saw the movie.
like internet fans do. Judging it before you saw it.
Yep. Just
you were well on your way to being
right there.
Yeah.
Started right there. Actually, it's interesting, though, because the set photo was like, it was a perfect photo of his side.
Okay.
And it wasn't pixelated or blurry or anything. It was so close to him that you could really see every detail. Mm. We still hated it. Because when you're really young, you want it to look just like the comic, not understanding visual aesthetic or costumes or makeup or anything like that. And having seen, like, this is Spider-Man. He looks like he's basically ripped off the page. Why couldn't you also do that for the Green Goblin? Mm-hmm, that's very difficult to understand at a young age.
That's true.
Now I don't really mind it as much. I get why he looks like that. It's still not my favorite.
Which is funny because now modern comic book movies, they're almost all the characters look exactly like the duo.
Yeah, it would be really interesting to see them. Now, see, I say do a Green Goblin like as a modern, but like we know with Amazing Spider-Man, they did the Green Goblin, and the only thing great about him is the fact that he's wearing a green suit.
Pretty much
like this one, but at least Willem Dafoe had a goblin-y mask.
True.
You know, so I don't know. It's very odd and very backwards. I loved a lot about this movie. I loved its humor. I still love its humor.
Oh, me too.
When he's swinging on his webs for the first time. Or when he wants to try to swing those webs for the first time, he's like, up, up, and away, web.
Fly, web.
Shazam.
Go, web, go.
Yeah.
Squeak, squeak, squeak. Again, my sister and I used to do that
all the time. Yeah.
Fly. Go, web, go.
It's so funny. I think I just texted that the other day, actually.
Yeah, we did do that. That's true.
This was really it, though, because, I mean, I liked the X-Men when I was a kid, but I loved Spider-Man. There was a big difference to me. And the X-Men movie, was good, and it's still good today, but it doesn't, like, they're all in their black leather suits.
Right.
And the only thing even kind of remotely comic booky about it, besides characters and plot and whatever like his aesthetic, is Magneto's helmet.
That's true.
That's about as close as you get.
Yeah.
And, but Spider-Man was like, here it is. Here's your Spider-Man costume. Mm-hmm. Here's the Green Goblin on a glider, and they're battling in the middle of New York.
Right.
And, you know, he's got an evil plan, and Mary Jane falls off a bridge, and there's just a lot of colorful, dorky humor in it.
Yes.
That being said, I don't love Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I like his Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like his Spider-Man.
I would actually flip it. And I like his Spider-Man a lot more than I like his... Not a lot more. I like his Spider-Man a lot, and I like it more than I like his Peter Parker.
Oh, explain.
I think his Peter Parker is a... Maybe it's partly a function of the writing, but I like a Peter Parker who is, yes, down on his luck, because that's who Peter Parker is. Yes, you know, bad things happen to him, and good things don't happen to him, and he never gets the girl, and all that kind of stuff. But it was a little more reclusive than I'm used to.
Yeah.
And so my Spider-Man.
It was very
stuff.
It was very Ditko,
yeah.
Stanley, early Spider-Man.
It was
that reclusive, but it feels odder when he's like that when he's older.
Yes,
yeah.
Even though he was supposed to be in high school,
he was supposed to be 17,
18. Yeah,
yeah. Because he graduates in the first movie.
That's
because
right.
Harry and him are living in that sweet loft.
You're right. Yeah.
Where in New York is that loft? Do you ever know? This is an establishing shot.
Oh, you mean for real? I thought you were joking. I have to look at it again.
No, I would really like to know where that is, because there's a McDonald's arch and their apartment's somewhere around there, but that narrows down.
Well, the establishing shot is
right, but it's supposed to, you know what I mean. Yeah.
It's like the Friends apartment, you know what I mean?
It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always wanted to know what actual section of the city they're living in.
I could look at it and probably give you.
Yeah, I know. With that apartment, I'm sure they're living on Fifth, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's off.
Yeah. And I'm sure that they can afford it.
Oh yeah, Harry.
I mean Harry probably can actually. Yeah.
You know, pulling up to the field trip in a Rolls. You know,
yeah, that's right.
Willem Dafoe was a really good Goblin too.
He was a good Goblin.
I liked him.
He was a good Harry.
He was a good Norman.
A Norman. Wrong Osborn.
Yeah.
Yes, he was a good Norman. He was a good, you know, the whole like father figure and. He played that role very well.
He did. His Norman was the only thing I didn't like, and I still Norman Osborn is I'm gonna Norman Osborn is a before he's the Goblin and he's a after he's the Green Goblin.
That's right.
There's like he's crazier as the Goblin.
It makes him crazy.
Yeah,
but he's already
still an awful person beforehand. And Willem Dafoe's Norman was not, the writing was not there. He was a
guy who became
whose company
crazy
got
and,
taken away from him.
Yeah.
And then like was forced to do the experiment on himself and then became crazy.
He was nice, but he was tough on his son. That was the thing. He was tough on his son. He was not nice to Harry.
He was there is this back and forth where he like clearly enjoyed Peter quite a bit.
Yes. He liked Peter more than he liked Harry.
Yeah, because
because Peter understood science, and Peter was like the son he never had.
And
like,
Harry dropped out of a bunch of schools and whatever else, because Harry's like, oh, I'm just like...
I'm angsty and rich, I'm James Franco.
My dad's a billionaire, so I'm just like, whatever. I did like James Franco in these movies, actually.
Like the first one.
Especially the first one, because it's a little bit before he became a little bit too James Franco-y.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is before James,
The first one, especially, he's very good. It's got a lot of... Oops. Sorry, I just hit your cat in the face by accident.
No, my cat batted at your arm.
I'm sorry. What are you doing? What are you doing back there?
It's okay.
It's okay. This is a good radio, isn't it?
It's great radio.
It's what you doing? Okay, he's just going to be behind me and attack my back.
That's okay.
Fine. He's going to be. It's like
it's before he was too James Franco-y. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of good. Everybody on the cast, you could feel this camaraderie, there's this good sense about everything, the way that the film is established, especially with
Aunt May.
Aunt Rosemary something. And Uncle, like, they're very good.
Rosemary Harris?
Harris, yeah, Rosemary Harris, yeah, good call.
Yeah.
Non-looked up. she's classic comic book Aunt May. Classic comic book Aunt May.
That's something this movie had all around.
Classic comic book.
They all looked like so many of the characters looked like the like their comic book counterparts. And I'm not talking about costumes. I'm talking about the faces. Like J. Jonah Jameson, right? Like
J.K. Simmons.
J.K.
Yeah,
Simmons.
Talk about him.
They made him look exactly like J. Jonah Jameson.
He might be the best part of the whole trilogy.
Yeah, Elizabeth
not even, might he is. The best part
I think he probably is.
The whole trilogy.
Elizabeth Banks as Betty Brant looked just like Betty Brant.
True, she did look just like her. Yeah,
and
I agree.
And this is Elizabeth Banks is like one of her early roles before she was
before
really
she was famous.
Yeah, I didn't know her at the time.
She was famous by the time 3 came out.
That's
and she
right.
Almost didn't want to come back.
That's right.
And they were like,
but she followed Jennifer Lawrence and she kept coming back.
Yeah,
but yeah, she wasn't famous yet, so like I didn't know this girl. I didn't know she was a blonde. I didn't know anything about her.
Nothing.
I was just like,
she was just
wow, she looks just like Betty Brant. That's
yeah.
freaky.
And then she and JJ are gonna go on a date together. And yeah.
See you later, Parker.
And
who
she's
says
like,
the good guy always gets the girl?
Wah, 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 wah. you don't trust anybody, do you? I trust my barber.
Yes.
Yeah. He's
so many good
lines. He's got it all.
I forgot about that line. That's good.
Meat. I'll give you a nice box of Christmas meat. Yeah. He's got it all. He gets worse every movie.
Oh man,
too.
Yeah.
Like he just becomes more of a parody of himself.
Yes,
every
does.
Movie. So by the time he gets to the third one, it's like he's got to take pills to be quiet because of his blood pressure.
That's
and
right.
It's he's so
this.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think the film also utilized him just enough that he doesn't become overbearing.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't become like he becomes this fun thing that you get to interact with.
Yes.
And, you know, and he becomes the plot guy. He becomes the naming guy.
That's right.
These guys got to have a name,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what about Green Meanie? You know, who that is? Ted Raimi. That's Sam
that
Raimi's
is Sam
Raimi's
brother. Yes.
Yeah.
I knew that. Yes.
Yeah. So all of that, I think, is I think that's what makes these movies kind of endure.
Yeah.
We were saying this even before we were recording. The CG in these movies are still...
It holds up.
It's still... Well, there's a lot of practical effects.
Yeah, that's it. It's the mix. We've said this before.
Yeah.
The best-looking movies, the best-looking effects, the effects that hold the best are the ones that are a mix of practical
yep.
and digital where you don't know where one ends and the next begins.
Yep, that's right. And there's a lot of him swinging. That's him.
Yep.
The majority of the time, the Green Goblin's on his glider. It is
it's real, yeah.
And when it's actually, it's funny because when it's not, you can tell.
Yes, you can. You
like
can.
It's just like it, the green isn't quite as bright.
Yeah,
or it's
yeah.
not as you know this or whatever else.
There are some sequences in this movie that are pure CG, or where a character is purely CG or whatever,
yeah.
and you can tell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there is so much in this movie that you can't. You're not sure whether it's CG or not, and
mm-hmm.
that's the mark of good effects.
Yeah.
That this many years later, we're still not sure, and it still holds up. You know, Willem Dafoe, really, yeah, like you said, he really rode that glider. He almost broke his ankles on that glider.
Really?
Because it was like his feet were like strapped down to it, and so like if he lost his balance,
he would just
his feet would stay on and he'd fall off. So
oh
he almost broke his ankles.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I do remember reading that one of the reasons he even got the part, apart from him being an awesome actor, is that he's been doing yoga for decades.
So he's in like crazy shape.
So he's in crazy good shape and flexibility, and so he's just. A man his age, he was probably in his, he's got to be in his late 40s, early 50s at that point.
Yeah.
Like to be able to get on the glider and do those things.
Yeah.
Because I think John Malkovich was actually up for the role originally.
Oh, that's right. I forgot
yeah,
about that. Yes.
And, but I think that was one of the reasons that they kind of ducked away from him.
Imagine John Malkovich with like his accent. Like him
his
doing.
Weird, like British American accent.
Doing
yeah.
this. Peter.
We are who we choose to be. Now choose.
You know, like.
That's it. That's the money. That now choose.
His heart, Osborne.
Yeah.
We attack his heart.
It's so true. I have seen him be angry in films before, though. Like certainly, but I feel like it'd be like this. Norman Osborne would be the this part of laboratory science. We must. Do things, Harry. And then his goblin would be like, I don't know, I can't even do John Malkovich yelling. I don't know.
It'd be like James Earl Jones. Yeah. They would just get James Earl Jones
just
to do
it. Over. Well, the goblin mask, you could have done that because you could see his mouth through the black.
That's right.
You could see it because like this like other they wanted like this other personality to feel like there was Norman trapped inside of the goblin and him coming out. That was cool. I like that from like a storytelling perspective. From a kid, I was like, why can't I see his mouth?
Yeah.
Feels weird.
It was cool because you could see him really enunciating every syllable.
Oh, my God. Could you ever? Yeah. Could you ever?
That movie does. So, I mean, he does look like a Power Ranger.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like gesticulating using like, you know, I
say it.
Right, yeah. right. But he's like trying to like, well, you can't say my mouth super well. So I'm going to gesture and use my hands and everything. And it suffers from a little bit of he looks like a Power Ranger villain.
Yes. I agree.
Yeah.
But this movie pioneered so much. You have you have to forgive it a little bit for that.
100%.
Yeah. Because without Sam Raimi's Spider-Man, you don't get anything.
Yeah.
Really.
I mean, because X-Men was like kind of... I mean, even like...
I think Blade was the catalyst. People always credit X-Men, but I really go back and credit Blade first because Blade proved you could take a comic book property that nobody had heard about or gave two clicks about and make a good movie, a real good movie out of it, and make money on a rated R
And it was
movie
marketable.
Besides.
Yes, that's right.
And
that's
it
right.
was marketable.
Right.
Yeah.
For a rated R movie besides... And then X-Men was the first time that they did it with well-known. I mean, like obviously Superman and Batman had come before, but this is in this modern way of doing superhero movies.
After Batman and Robin destroyed comic books and film for a little while.
That's exactly right.
X-Men was the good grace film.
We can still make a good comic book movie and not have it
X-Men
suck.
Was a sleeper surprise too.
Yeah, it was.
They didn't build it up the same way or anything like that. It was kind of released. Built to it, yeah.
Isn't it like, how was that possibly a surprise? Like, look, everything it had going for it.
I know.
But it
had a lot going for it.
Yeah.
But this was also, it's really before Ian McKellen was a huge name.
It's true.
Like,
but Patrick Stewart was.
Patrick Stewart was a big name. But think about the rest of that. Halle Berry was a big name.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman in this movie made Hugh Jackman.
That's absolutely right, yeah.
It made James Marsden. Famke Janssen arguably maybe she's been in stuff, certainly. But
in America. It made her famous in America.
Made America, yeah. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're right.
Ray Park had a great year. He had Star Wars.
Oh, my
Nice
God,
Men.
Great year for him. But but as much as those two movies came first, and
Rebecca Ramon made Rebecca Ramon.
Rebecca Ramon was already...
Well, she was a model.
Yeah.
But this movie...
But her film career, I guess, yeah. Was she still Remains Damos back then? I guess she was
still.
Yeah,
she was still Damos back then.
But Spider-Man was the first one for me, the one that I kind of credit with waking me up to, like, oh, wow, you can really make really good superhero movies that don't suck and are, like, serious and are, like, you know, still really entertaining. Mm-hmm. It was the first one for me.
Yeah. I think it was the first one for a lot of people that way because it took itself seriously.
That's right.
But still had levity to it.
Yeah, it took the source material seriously.
Too hard.
You know?
It knew its fans would support it, and that goes. Yeah. It was one of the first ones to do that. And you know why? Because Sam Raimi is a fan.
Huge.
One is a fan himself.
Huge Spider-Man.
He comes from nerd culture.
Right.
He understands and builds and respects, and that's. That's where the film really...
Yeah. He loves the material.
Yeah.
He loves the material. And
you could tell the difference between... You could tell the difference in his films between how much creative control and faith they had versus how much a studio dictated.
One you could see they gave him a lot of leeway.
Yep.
And then they gradually took more and more control as the movies went on. Maybe we'll talk about that in future episodes.
Yeah,
but...
I agree. I agree. Yeah. We can rank them by the end, I think, certainly.
Yeah.
Though I think most people agree on a pretty...
There's
a pretty standard approach to it.
Yeah.
But anyway...
Obviously, 3's the best.
Yeah, right. Obviously. We haven't talked about Kirsten Dunst at all in this
film. Yeah, that's true. In this film, I thought she was fine. In this film. I thought she had better performances... As the series went on,
there
is a better performance. I won't say which one, but there is a better performance later. But she does a fair job in this movie. She, excuse me, she wasn't necessarily she was the main love interest, but she didn't get as much to do here as she did later on.
I agree. I think she had more to do in other films. However, she has never, ever done it for me as Mary Jane.
Oh, okay.
I've never...
I kind of agree with that.
I've never really buy their chemistry or their...
Yeah, it's always a little forced and
always feels like they have to be together as opposed to they have this rapport with one another.
They're together, but they're sad.
Yeah, they're sad all the time.
There's always all this angst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's... I mean, and part of that is like movie drama, like to create some kind of, to create some kind of division and drama they need. But like you're not, and like you have to understand that they're happy together on the in-between times.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Without giving you enough happy together on the in-betweens, that's where I think Amazing Spider-Man really succeeded with Gwen and Peter.
You believe Peter and Gwen love
you believe their relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, mainly also because Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone were dating
that's true.
At the time. But that helps. Just saying,
right?
You really believe. I never, even as a kid, never really bought Kirsten Dunst as Mary Jane.
Yeah, I can see
that. Good actress. Don't get me wrong.
I agree.
Like, I just maybe she just never to me quite fit the part.
Mm.
Though I do think in the first film she does do a good job at playing the I'm a popular senior like high school. Senior in high school girl who like has this dream that's gonna be my mom's gonna make fun of me so
right,
I'm not gonna
right,
do
right.
it but then I do it and I realize it's incredibly difficult and it's not what I thought. That actually is all played out very nicely I think that maybe by the time the film's over she maybe matures too much for the amount of time that the film is actually supposed to
it happens
a little too fast. So by the time of Norman's funeral. By the time you get to Norman's funeral, she feels like she's in her mid-20s as opposed to being 18.
Right.
Like she's supposed to be. That's just I've always felt that way.
I agree with that.
Do you think Tobey Maguire looked like he was a high school senior?
Absolutely not.
No, he does not. No.
Flash Thompson surely didn't.
No. Oh, my God. Joe Magadiga.
Yeah, that guy.
He was on True Blood. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got that far. Yeah, no, none of them really did. Although James Franco did look pretty young.
He might have been the youngest one out of them.
Maybe.
He might have been.
Yeah, but anyway, no, they don't, any of them really look like they...
They're all about 10 years too old, except for James Franco, maybe.
Which in some way is a benefit for them, like, leaving high school in those films immediately.
That's true.
And going and doing something else.
Yeah.
That being said... I like when Peter is in high school. We've talked about this before. Ultimate Spider-Man is what I think. And like, he's always in high school.
That's now my definitive Spider-Man as well. So yeah, I like Spider-Man in high school. I think he belongs in high school.
Do you think Tom Holland will capture that imagination? Because the kid is 18.
I've never seen him act, so I don't know.
I have. I've seen him act.
Okay.
I saw In the Heart of the Sea.
Okay.
And he was in that. He's really good. Cool. I was really impressed with him, actually. And he looks young. He like you can
right.
tell
yeah, that,
he's
yeah.
the age, yeah. So
yeah, I mean he might bring it. I just don't know if he's an actor, but he very well might bring it. Yeah,
yeah. I think he was good. Marvel tends to make good choices on their actors and actresses, even if you don't agree with
the way
their characters have gone. Sometimes
that's true.
You don't watch a character. You don't ever watch an actor in one of those films and go, "Man, that was a bad performance." Really,
it's true. And you don't ever
most
say like
of the time.
You never say it was a bad performance or it was a bad casting choice. Really,
yeah. I mean, you can maybe say like one was better. Like maybe. Maybe Don Cheadle is better than Terrence Howard in the same part, but I think some of that is the way that they're written whatever else. But yeah, it goes all that goes in.
Yeah.
What about Spider-Man's costume? Do you like this original look from the first film?
Okay. Yes, I do. And I didn't really I wasn't the kind of person who noticed these kinds of things about costumes back then. So I was like, it's just the Spider-Man costume. Of course, it's fine. But it's like, I thought it was a great costume. It didn't really change that much from two to three, right? And then even Amazing Spider-Man was a little different design, but...
Amazing Spider-Man's design from one to two is much different.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I just, I mean, like...
I'll show you pictures.
To me, it's like, it's just, it's the Spider-Man costume. Like, it's just the Spider-Man costume,
you know? Yeah.
Some, like, differences
so his
in,
eyes
like...
are a little different.
His eyes are a little different, or whatever, but like... you know, they did like reflective, like Oakley sunglass lenses instead of like white, but like, you know, whatever. That's just the way it's going to look in a movie. And maybe the spider is a different size on the front and back than it is on the comic. But in general, I was like, it's just the Spider-Man costume. Like, you know.
Do you ever see the original Alex Ross designs for the Spider-Man costume and the Green Goblin suit?
Alex Ross did the concept art for the movie? Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
no,
they didn't use his designs, which for Spider-Man, I'm glad about, actually. His original design was the... It's actually the Bucky Captain America costume, where it's all black with the V going down.
Oh.
And it's the suit, but instead it's all black. The suit's all black, except for this the V that comes down, and it's the red and webs all the way up.
Oh,
and
wow.
His eyes were kind of like bubbled black. It's very cool.
And that's Alex Ross's design.
That was Alex Ross's design.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, which then got used for the Captain America redo for Bucky. Yeah. Huh. The Green Goblin one, though, was real cool. And he looked... He was supposed to transform because of the stuff, like he would. So he became more goblin-y looking. And he had all these, like, rags and a hood, and he carried a sword.
Oh, yeah.
It was really cool design. I'll pull them up afterwards.
That sounds good.
People can Google them. They're online. They've been out for years.
Yeah. Nice.
But until next time, we can talk about any loose webs we can pick up. At another time.
Yeah, we should talk about Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 3. Maybe talk about Amazing Spider-Man also.
Yeah, before Civil War comes out.
Not all at once, but yeah, over time but in the months before Civil War comes out. Yeah.
Cool.
So
you can find us on Twitter at BeerWithGeeks or Facebook.com/BeerWithGeeks, or you can email us at BeerWithGeeks.com. You can also rate and review us on iTunes, which we super really appreciate.
We really, really do.
We show that support by reading them out loud on the show.
We do.
A podcast with Beer and Geeks by Kraus0313.
Oh.
5 stars. These guys really love doing this podcast. They are really laid back and know what they are talking about. Frank and Tim are fun guys to listen to, and it's even better when there's beer. Keep it up, guys.
Nice. That's Kyle Kraus, who's a listener of ours, who's awesome guy. He's on Twitter. He listens to Supergirl TV Talk as well, our other show. Awesome guy. So shout out to Kyle. Thank you so much for that review. That's really, really nice of you. If you want to be really nice, also, you can send us reviews as well. You can listen to us on any of the great podcast apps, whether it's iTunes, whether it's the Satchel Media Player, which is on Android and now also iOS in beta. You can find us on Overcast. You can find us anywhere that better podcasts are found, and rate us, review us, let your friends know.
Are served.
Yes, that's right. But yeah, tell your friends. We super appreciate it. But anyway, we will be back next week to talk about other geeky things. But until then... Cheers.